Morning. Good morning, everybody. If you will, find your seats. My name is Scotty Staub. I'm a missionary sent out by Grace Baptist Church. I work with Source of Light International, and I am a regional director for Asia and Europe. So we want to welcome you this morning, and Fred and Tina are on vacation, so as you can tell, we're filling in, and we're excited to do so. This morning, we're going to focus on who God is and Jesus and what a wonderful Savior we have. I want to focus our attention on Titus 2 and verses 13 and 14, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. So this morning, will you stand with us, and we're going to sing and sing the hymn, Our Great Savior.
This morning, and it's a joy as again to be able to be together with you and welcoming today some friends of ours who we have served at Grace and been able to support for several years. And it's good to have the Slides with us, Chuck and Susan, and the opportunity to hear from them, and we'll be doing that in just a little bit. We have several that we're praying for as we go into this next week, and just remembering, and John Ramsey and Linda Smith amongst those, and continue to pray for those who have ongoing needs. Also, Steve Branson, this is Don Arnold's foster brother, who is tomorrow going to be having a platelet transfusion and is needing a marrow transplant. And so just be in prayer for Steve, if you would. And then others that are on our hearts and minds, the Blesch family and different ones as we go into this week. We welcome you, And I hope that if there's ever anything that as a church we can do for you, that you make sure that you reach out and to ask. And just grateful for our ministry here and the community and the believers that God has given to us. Let's open our time here together in a word of prayer. And as we get ready to worship, continuing in song, but also just ready our hearts to listen to his word and prepare ourselves to receive what God has for us today. Father, we're grateful for today. And Lord, as we have opportunity to give it to you worship, I pray that our hearts will be ready as well to receive from you what it is that your word would have for us to receive. And I ask that you'll encourage our hearts, and thank you for each life that is present here. And Lord, we know that there are those that would rather be here than perhaps the circumstances of their life are allowing. But at the same time, we're grateful for the strength that you afford us and the power of your presence and the comfort that it brings. And Lord, as we go into this week, we pray for those who are going through difficult times, as names that we've already mentioned. Ask, Lord, that you would just strengthen those who are feeble, those that are struggling. Lord, those who are going through difficult places, we just are grateful for your presence in these times of our life. And so, Lord, we just ask now that you'll encourage our hearts in you. Lord, as we've already sung, what a Savior, what a hope that we have in the person of Jesus Christ. And I hope that every person that is here today truly knows you as their God, as their Redeemer, as the Savior of their soul. And Lord, if there is one that does not have that kind of a relationship with you, I pray that something would stir in their hearts, a need, a desire to get that answered even today. So Lord, we praise you for your goodness to us and the ways that you encourage us throughout our life and our existence here. And we'll thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Jesus is our King. Do you belong to him today? Let's sing our praises to him, Jesus our King. Sing to the King.
Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation his empire shall bring.
again. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. What a great song that we get to sing about Jesus through Christ.
My joy, my righteousness.
Said earlier, it's a joy to have the Slides with us, and it's good to have his wife Susan sit back here by my mom and my wife over here, and Chuck is going to be coming here in just a minute. And I've been serving faithfully in missions for several years. Do we say decades? Is that okay to say? And has served in a couple different fields and places, most recently in Germany. And that's good. Bergens are here, and different ones, and it's a joy to see the faithfulness and the endurance that God has given to so many who are serving and continuing to serve, and grateful for even the Bergens who have come and been faithful serving here in our local church, and to see the Slides continuing to go into another facet of ministry, not sitting back, not relaxing, but just continuing to be faithful in those areas. And I'm grateful that God has given them that opportunity. I asked him to speak today. It's been a little while since they've been able to be with us, but at the same time, I want to give him the opportunity to really share what's on his heart, the leading that God has, and to challenge us today, coming from a heart that has been faithfully serving. And so I hope that you'll pay attention to that, to glean what it is, the perspective of how God has taught and instructed, and yet at the same time, what we can glean as a ministry in a church. So Brother Chuck, you come ahead and share with us what God has in store for us this morning, and just grateful for the opportunity to have you here today with us this morning.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. I look across this sanctuary and I see the room is packed, and that's a great blessing because we didn't know what to expect after the tornado and everything. We knew we were coming here. We knew we were meeting in temporary location. And this is phenomenal, and just praise the Lord that God is continuing to bless. That was a wonderful worship service this morning, and it's just an honor to be here. I've seen a lot of folks that I've seen before and have been a blessing in my life down through the years, and some of our BIMI folk, it's good to see them again. One man came up to me, and he said, "My wife and I didn't know who that was up there," and then they said, "Oh, that's the Slides." And he came up to me and says, you look older," and just made my day, I'm telling you that. But yes, I am older, that's for sure. We're glad to be here this morning. And I'll be sharing in the discipleship hour in one of the classes about our upcoming ministry transition that we're going to be experiencing, so I won't go into all of that this morning. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 13 through 16. We're going to travel over familiar territory this morning. I'm sure you've heard sermons on this passage, but most of the time I found that what people don't need is something new. They just need to be reminded of what they already know about. And so I'm going to share some things with you that come from my heart about salt and light living. While you're turning in your Bible, I was just thinking as I came to the church this morning and walked in, I was all decked out in a suit, and I saw the pastor. He didn't have a suit on, and I said, "Can I take my tie off?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "That's great." So I took my noose off, and I feel a whole lot better this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, we read these words. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the blessing it is to be in your house this morning. I thank you for this wonderful facility that you have provided in the interim for Grace Baptist Church. And we thank you for, Lord, how you have continued to bless this church. We pray for your continued blessings. And now, Lord, as we go to your word, I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to convey, Lord, the passion of my heart, and that, Lord, that I would speak your words this morning and that your name would be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think each of us could give an illustration of someone who had an important impact on your life, who brought you to Christ, led you to Christ, or guided you in your Christian life. And as Susan and I have looked out over the years, as we have gone through our Christian life down through the years, we can look and see certain people who had an impact and an influence in our lives for good and pointed us in the right direction. We're thankful for the great people in our teenage years that pointed us in the right direction and gave us some guidance during that key period of our our times. I know in my life personally that my mom and dad had a tremendous impact upon my life and pointed me and directed me in my life and gave me leadership and mentored me and had such a profound influence in manifold ways. Various people have had an impact on my life. My six pastors that I served under or was under their in their membership had such a tremendous power and influence on my life. And I'm thankful my wife has various people who had an incalculable impact upon her life as well. And this morning, I'd like us to think about people in your life who challenged you and influenced you for good, and how you can become a positive influence for someone else in their life. Think about with me the following this morning. First of all, I'd like you to see that you are the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus says in verse 13. He makes a statement. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. That's not a question. That's a statement. It's not like you're to try to be salt of the earth. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Salt has always been valuable in human society. In ancient society, it was used as a mark of friendship. If you wanted to show your friendship for someone, you put a pinch of salt in their hand. God prescribed that all sacrificial offerings had to be offered with salt. In the Near East, salt was used to bind a contract. If you wanted to bind a contract with someone, you gave them some salt. You have an example of this in 2 Chronicles 13, verse 5, where it says that God made a covenant of salt with David. So the Lord is saying, you are the salt. And pour out your salt into the lives of others. Pour out your salt into your community. You see, you can think of this facility that God has given you, even though it's temporary to you, you can think of this facility as a salt shaker. And a salt shaker doesn't do any good if you stay in the salt shaker. You've got to get out into the world in order for the salt to be any good. And so what good are you if you're still in the salt shaker? God doesn't want you to just come to church on Sunday and just be salt. He wants you to go out into the community, into your workplaces, into your neighborhoods, and to be salt and to be the salt of the world and to get out there, out of the salt shaker and into the world. Second, Jesus says that you are the light of the world. Look again at verses 14 and 15. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, or literally a lantern, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Jesus says that you are the light of the world. Whereas salt is hidden, light is obvious. Salt works from within, light works from without. Salt is the more indirect influence of the gospel. It's how we live our lives. It's what people see. And it's our holiness, our walk with Christ. So whereas salt is the indirect influence of the gospel, light is the more direct communication of the gospel, the speaking of the gospel. Salt works through our living, while light works through what we say and what we teach and what we preach. Salt works through the inward part. It goes inside of us, and it influences. It is shown from the inside, whereas light is from the outside. Christ's work always has to do with both the living out of the gospel and the speaking forth of the gospel. So what do salt and light do? Salt and light have unique properties. Both carry enormous influence. Both have an immediate impact and are noticed instantly. I know instantly when I taste salt. I don't want any French fries without salt, amen? I don't want any mashed potatoes without salt. My wife can't eat watermelon without salt, and I think that's an abomination. But it's instantly noticed. It has an immediate effect. And I notice if I happen to eat a piece of hers, I know immediately this is not my watermelon piece. This is hers. And the same with light. When you enter a dark room and you turn on the light switch, you know it immediately. Both salt and light are difficult to veil. They are common entities. They are ubiquitous, obvious, well known. Good people are said to be salt of the earth people. If it's a proverb in our English language that if someone is useful, if someone is honest, if they're straightforward and without hypocrisy, we say that person is the salt of the earth. Now, what did Jesus mean? Salt was one of the most important substances in the ancient world. Roman soldiers were paid in salt, and if they did not receive their ration of salt, they revolted. In fact, our English word salary comes from the Latin word solarium or solarium, which means salt money. And that expression, that man is worth his salt, is a reminder of the high value that the ancient society placed upon salt. Now, how is salt used? It is used as a preservative. In fact, it was the main use of salt in the ancient world. Salt prevents spoilage. And in the same way, you and I who know the Lord, we are a preservative in the world. We bring Christ's influence into our neighborhoods, into our workplace, in society. We hold back society from the full sway of evil that would be present were it not for the presence of us as salt in our world. Imagine a world without churches. Imagine a world with no Christian colleges or Christian schools. Imagine a world with no Christian-sponsored hospitals or Christian orphanages or Christian pregnancy centers. Salt is also used as a flavoring and a seasoning. In the same sense, Christians should bring spice and zest to life. The Christian should be the perfect example, the personification, if you will, of what the how life should be lived. Salt doesn't do any good sitting on the table. We need to get out of the salt shaker and flavor the world with godliness and love and compassion. Salt is also an antiseptic. In ancient times, when a baby was born, they would rub the baby down in salt to prevent infection from wounds from the primitive birth methods of that day. The cleaning of a wound with salt, you know, it sounds like it would be painful, but it was effective in fighting infections. As Christians, we have the responsibility not only of pointing out sin, but offering spiritual healing and practical help. Fourth, salt creates thirst. There's that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. That's only part of the expression. We use that sometimes, and I hear that, and I never hear them say the rest of the expression. The rest of the expression goes, but you can give it salt and make it thirsty. And just as Jesus was salt that caused people to thirst for God, we ought to be the salt of the earth that causes people to be thirsty for real life that is found in Jesus. Light, what are its uses? First of all, light dispels darkness. Christians reflecting light dispel spiritual darkness. I have lived in the Far East, in Taiwan, and in Okinawa, Japan, and I've seen a lot of instances of darkness. I've seen darkness all throughout because of idolatry. Susan and I have lived in Germany and England, and we've been to many European countries, and we've seen the beautiful cathedrals and the beautiful places of worship in all over Europe. And we've lived in Germany, we lived in England, but we've been to several European countries, and we've seen what happens when countries turn away from their biblical roots and turn to all kinds of isms, even as far as going into paganism. I have been to Central America, where there's much religion, but much spiritual darkness. We've seen so much darkness, and it's heartbreaking to witness. But praise the Lord for mission organizations such as BIMI and other mission organizations who have gone throughout the world and have sent missionaries to pierce the darkness in those places. All of us cannot go to the mission field, but all of us can pierce the darkness where we are by witnessing to others. Second, light reveals. Have you ever walked into a room and it was dark and you were about to trip over something and you flipped the light switch and immediately you were able to see and everything was revealed? As Christ's presence in this world, we become instruments to reveal Christ's presence in a dark world. Lastly, light warns. I love the illustration of a White House. I love the illustration of a White House as an indicator or a warning of danger. When we were in Portugal, we were traveling along the coastline and we were able to see several lighthouses, went inside of them. They're beautiful in Portugal if you ever get a chance to go there. And they were there as a warning to seamen of dangerous cliffs and shoals. And as bearers of light, we must warn the world of judgment to come if they do not turn to Jesus for salvation. Now, how can we make an impact in our world? Well, first of all, I want you to recognize that our distinctiveness makes a difference. People know if you're living a holy life. Just as there is a difference between salt and pepper, there should be a distinctiveness between us as believers and the world. Just as there is a difference between light and darkness, there should be a distinctiveness that people see how we are distinct from the world. It is the Christian's distinctiveness that makes the difference in the world. When there is holiness about our lives, people should be able to see that. And they will. They'll take note of it. There will be a distinctiveness that makes a difference. Second, stay close to Christ. Jesus warns his followers, if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? He's saying, if salt loses its saltiness, you cannot benefit from its properties. A Christian who is not salty is good for nothing. That's really what Jesus is saying in this passage. One of the most noteworthy things about salt is that in its purest form, it never loses its saltiness. You can take a bowl of pure salt and put it on a table and come back in 10 years, and it will be just as salty as when you left it 10 years before. The only thing that can dilute salt is if impurities are introduced to the salt. And the point that Jesus is making is that it is dangerously easy for Christians to allow impurities to dilute our influence and preservative powers in the world. If we're not affecting the world is affecting us. If we're not salting the world is rotting us. To keep the world from effectiveness, we've got to stay in close communion with the ultimate influencer, Jesus Christ. And third, we must make our works visible. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And God wants to make our works visible. Jesus is calling us to be audio-visual Christians. The Christian seasoning is something that must be tasted. The Christian's light is something that must be seen. Now, I'd like us to think about the sphere of our impact. 23 chapters later, 3 years after Jesus gave this portion of scripture that we looked at this morning, Jesus gave what is known as the Great Commission. We're all familiar with it. Go into all the world and teach all nations, or make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. The Lord gave us this great commission, And Jesus was teaching that our sphere is the world. The Christian seasoning is something to be tasted in the world. It's something to be seen in the world. We're to salt the world. We're to lighten the world. Individually, we cannot do everything, but we can do everything that we can. Our good friends, Dave and Debbie Woodard, were for many years ABWE missionaries. We were in England for 7 years. Just for, so you kind of get the history of our mission work, we were 10 years in Wiesbaden, Germany, and then we were 7 years in Bicester, England, and then we were another 20 years in Grafenwöhr, Germany. But when we were in England, we had some good friends of ours who came from the same church that my wife came from. And they were really and really are our best friends in the whole world. And their last church that they ministered to, they were in several churches. They rehabilitated old churches and got them back to life and turned them back over to national pastors and did a very good job in doing that. And the last church they were in was the Great White Baptist Church in Ramsey in Cambridgeshire. A new program had been developed in English churches called Exploring Christianity. And it involved two or three elements. You would invite someone to come for several weeks on a weeknight, they would come and there would be a meal for them. They would watch a video, the Exploring Christianity video, about a 40-minute video series, and then there would be a discussion time. And what was unique about it is that it was really focused primarily on the non-believer. So if you could bring someone, you could come with your believer, with your non-believer friend. But if you could not bring someone, you couldn't come to it. You would go to another place, another room, if it was in a church or if they were meeting in a neutral facility, they would meet someplace at the church and they would pray during that hour and a half period, would pray earnestly for the people that came. There was a man by the name of Daniel who had a home decorating business, and he was able to get a friend of his and to come. And he attended week after week. And the series is just really tremendous. It starts at the very basic level and works its way up to teach the basic things about Christianity, leading to a challenge to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. And so he got his friend to commit to coming. And he was so excited and began to... different people as well began to invite their friends, and they had a number of people that attended this video series. And while they were having their series back at the prayer room, they were literally on their knees pouring out their prayers to God to save people. And they had some good results as a result of that that series. Well, Daniel invited a man by the name of David to come to the series, and he was earnestly praying for his friend's salvation. One of the video sessions used stained glass windows as an illustration. Now, stained glass windows has been around since the 7th century. And the video speaker explained that stained glass windows told the stories of the Bible, told the stories of the gospel, told the stories of Jesus Christ. And the purpose of stained glass windows was to educate the populace, because they were illiterate, to educate them about the stories of the Bible, because in medieval times, the populace was mostly illiterate. And so they watched that video about stained glass windows. And during the discussion time, Daniel, his friend David, asked during this discussion time, he raised his hand and he said, "Can I say something, Pastor?" And he said, "Yes." He said, Pastor, my family never went to church. And he said, "I have never stepped foot in a church in my life until coming to this this series." He said he'd never been to a church wedding. He'd never been to a funeral in a church. He had never been in church. in his whole life. And he said, the only thing I knew about Christianity was what I learned in RE class. RE stands for religious education class. This is part of the public curriculum in the public schools there. And so he said, I that's the only thing I learned about anything about religion at all. Now, you know, they still have that RE class in the British schools, and that sounds good, doesn't it? But the reality is that if you can just imagine a big pie, and every group gets a piece of that pie to come in and tell about their religion. And so the Hindus had a piece of the pie, and they could come in and tell the kids about Hinduism, and the Buddhists could come in, and they could tell about their religion, and the Muslims had a piece of the pie, and the Church of England had a piece of the pie, the Evangelicals had a piece of the pie, and everybody had a little piece. And so the only thing that he ever learned was what he learned in RE class, and it was just a mishmash of mixed up understanding of what religion was all about. And then he said this. He said, I never knew much about the Bible, but I started working for Daniel. And I began to notice that at lunchtime, Daniel would go under a tree or someplace where he could kind of get some privacy. And he would open his Bible and he would read his Bible every day at work. And he said, you know, one day I went up to Daniel and I said, Daniel, I see that you're reading your Bible, and I wonder if I could, if you would read the Bible to me and explain it to me. And Daniel said, sure. And so Daniel began to read the Bible to David, and David began to hear the stories of the Bible and the teachings of the Word of God. And then pretty soon some of the other workers were wondering what they were doing over there. And so they asked to be a part of this Bible study. And it wasn't even an organized thing. It was just a thing during lunchtime, and they would have their lunchtime and go back to work. And he said this, and this is the thing that he said. Now remember, he had just heard the lecturer on the video series talk about stained glass windows, and they were meant to shine through those windows to tell the stories of the Bible. And David's paused and he said this. He said, see, Pastor, Daniel is my stained glass window. Every day I see Jesus. Every day I learn about God through Daniel. And brethren, just as light shines through a stained glass window and illuminates God, David was seeing Jesus through the life and the words of Daniel. And that story ought to be the life testimony of every single one of us. May every single one of us be stained glass window Christians. May every one of us be showing Jesus through our lives, salt, and through our words, light. Whether you're called to do this overseas or here in the States, we're all called to serve, to be light and salt to those we know who that they may see Christ through us. We are to be stained glass windows revealing the story of Christ's forgiveness and his saving grace. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8 says, for ye were in the past darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and you that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And in our text this morning in verse 16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So I challenge you today to recommit yourself to be salt and light in your life through the words and witness of your life. And may you be a stained glass window for someone to reveal Jesus through your life and through your lips. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and thank you for how practical and helpful it is to our lives. Thank you for its guidance and its wisdom. It tells us, Lord, how to live the Christian life and how to grow, how to be close to you, how to know you better. We thank you, Father, for the word of God and how it is spoken this morning. And I pray, Father, that as we've looked at familiar territory, things that I suppose just about everyone in this congregation has heard elucidated in one way or the other through somebody, these truths. And yet, Lord, we need to hear them again and be reminded that we need to be salt and light in our world. Help us, Father, to live our lives as salt, to have that influence of a godly life before everyone that we come into contact with. And may that godly life manifest itself through holiness, but also through love and compassion and kindness. And may that be shown outwardly in our works, that people can see the good, the light that is within us. And I pray, dear Father, that you would help us, Father, to know you better and to be able to show forth these qualities in our lives. And may we be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you stand with us, please? And in our closing, we're going to be singing, Be Thou My Vision. In the first chorus, it says, waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. And we can see about Christ being our light. Let's sing this song of prayer this morning.
I appreciate that challenge, Brother Sly, and it goes very well with what we spoke on last week, where Christ again reminds us to get our eyes up and to look to the fields, they're white, and to harvest. And it's just be there. Be in the place of harvest, be there shining your light, be that salt of the earth. And there's that little phrase there that talks about who reaps is receiving wages. That's our salt. And are we worth our salt? And the sense of it being that we are truly where God would have us in the sowing and the reaping and whatever place that God has us to be. I appreciate that reminder and that continuation of thought into that. And I hope that you'll continue to pray for the Slides and encourage them even today as you have opportunity. There's prayer cards that they have out there on the table. Make sure that you stop by and pick one of those up on your way out. But I hope that you'll take it upon your hearts to be in prayer for them as they're moving into new ministry, which We're going to be having an opportunity to hear from them in just a little bit to be able to share in their ministry, and that'll be out there in the foyer. If you're not in a class today, and if you'd like to hear a little bit more about what God's doing in their life, that's the update they're going to be giving for us. That'll be out there after the service, during the 11 o'clock hour, the discipleship hour, and so encourage that. Summer choir is going to be meeting in here, and so remember that as well. And then Fred's class has moved back over here to the choir room. He's got a little bit of movement here today, and so make sure that you're aware of that. There's some other announcements I want to give you just quick before we leave here, and that in your bulletin there is some calendar updates and things like this that you can check out and see and put that on your calendars. We also found a cell phone. Anybody missing a cell phone? That's hard to believe that we would not know where that's at in this day and age. But if you have misplaced yours, and we found one, and talk with Kelly O'Rear, and he'll get that to you. A couple other just quick announcements. Tonight is our ministry update fellowship, and that is during our quarterly business meeting. That'll be this evening at 5:30. It's a little different time. We're back in the fellowship hall, and this is a time to bring some sandwiches, some chips, some cookies. Church will be providing the beverage, and unless you just got that very special beverage that you have to have with you, you can bring that, but we'll be staying back there and enjoying a time together, and so plan on that. There's several things there. There is some child care provided, and there are some others that are helping with that area. And then last of all, today is the deadline. We ask, if you would please, to bring in your gift cards for our teacher prayer and dedication time that we're going to be having next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock out at Collegedale Commons. We're recommending $10. If you're able to do that, that's fine, and or even more. And we'd like to be able to give those to our faculty and staff, and just to be in prayer for them, to love on them, and to thank them as they're preparing for this next school year in our academy here. We've got several others that work in other schools, and our homeschoolers and public schools are getting ready to get back into action, as well as our academy here. And so just be in prayer for those that serve in those different ways. So a few things there for you to be aware of, and I hope that you'll look through the bulletin for the rest of the story, so to speak. As we leave here today, salt and light, be thinking about that. That's what we are. It's not what we are to aspire to be. Every time we step into the world, we move them one step closer to Christ just by our presence, and making sure that our hearts are always in that position of moving closer to Christ, that we are growing in the knowledge of our faith. And I hope that we are in that place. And if there is a struggle in your heart over your relationship with God, if there is something that you're burdened with, if there is a challenge, or maybe perhaps even as he was talking today about the stained glasses, the people that have influenced your life, and yet you have never trusted Christ, won't you stay for a moment, talk to one of us. We'd love to be able to take God's word and help you as we all work through areas and different needs in our life. And so appreciate the opportunity to look to him for the solutions, the answers to our life's greatest needs. We're grateful for your time with us here. Let's have a closing word of prayer, and then we can enjoy a time of fellowship. If you're new to us here, you can go right out those double doors through the courtyard area there, out into the fellowship hall on the other end of that. We've got some refreshments and things like that, some waters and different things to enjoy a time of conversation or just a quick snack. And then at 11 o'clock, we have a discipleship time, a time to continue to grow in our faith. Again, if you're not in a class and you want to, Brother Sly and his wife are going to be presenting their ministry, what God is doing. That'll be right there in the foyer. And then there's other classes that are throughout, and there's information about that on the table out in the foyer as well. Father, we're grateful for this morning, time together. We're grateful for the worship that we've been able to express, and I pray that it's genuine. Lord, I pray that our hearts are genuinely enamored with the person that you are. And Lord, that it is less about the experience and more about the true transformation that you have brought into our life. Lord, you are the radical changer of our existence. And Lord, I pray that we would be conformed to your image. And Lord, as we've seen and heard this morning, we thank you for the gospel, the good news that moves us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. Lord, we're grateful for the cross. We're grateful for an empty tomb. And we're grateful for the promise that is given to us of eternal life. And Lord, grateful that we have the power to live in this day, Lord, to overcome the sin, to overcome the things that cause so much struggle in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we would truly be that beacon of hope to people as we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and may we go forth ready to be what you have called us to be. And we'll thank you and praise you, and it's in Christ's name we ask him. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.